It's Friday again, and that means another edition of our podcast, The Zogby Report, Real and Unscripted. And as always, I'm John, and I'm here with my son and business partner, Jeremy. Good morning. Happy Friday, Jer.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing is the issue. The countdown to number three, little Zogby baby, is getting real close here.
Yeah, we're scrambling. We're scrambling to get ready because
well, hopefully Nertila will not go into labor during this podcast, but we're going to keep it brief. It's just the two of us, and here's what I've come up with. And of course, as in 99% of the cases, you really don't know what I'm going to come up with. So I'm looking at Joe Biden, President of the United States, and I'm looking at his numbers, of course, because that's what we do. And I'm not going to call this week a renaissance, but there is something very noticeable that's going on. Last week at this time, his average was about 42% job approval and about 53% disapproval. This week, the total average is 44%, but if you just take a look at the last five or six polls, it's hovering around 45% and 50% disapproval. I know it appears with margins of error that we're splitting hairs, but we split hairs anyway in our business. And clearly, at the very least, there's been no free fall for the president, at the very least as well, you know, not even a minor slide. And in fact, he seems to be turning things around, or maybe with the holidays here and upcoming, maybe people are in a better mood. But there's been a noticeable uptick, and I just wanted to talk briefly about that. Let me give you a few thoughts on my part and then see if you agree or disagree. I think first and foremost, we're seeing a lot more of Joe Biden. And certainly for those who dislike him, that means a lot more speculation, you know, about his physical and mental health. But on the other hand, he does seem to do better when people see him. He has a way of comforting people, not the least of which, of course, are his supporters. That's all you can hope for these days, is to win back your supporters and strengthen your stronger supporters. So being out there is important. I think secondly, in terms of the major focus of his attention, he's done two things. One is we've seen a lot more stories from real people about the impact of the Build Back Better legislation, that in other words, it's not being addressed simply on Republican terms, which is deficit spending, how is it going to be paid for, and so on, but rather in terms of the impact that it can have on individuals and families and on the middle class. And then thirdly, I think what he's done, both directly and then indirectly, is at least recognized inflation. And that's a chief thing for presidents to do, is to not ignore, like George H.W. Bush, say, in 1992, during the presidential debate with Bill Clinton and Ross Perot, they were talking about the impact of the economy. Somebody from the live audience was talking about how much he was hurt by the recession, and the President Bush then was looking at his watch. This was a moment this week where President Biden was not looking at his watch and was at least addressing the importance of the inflation issue. And of course, may have gotten a little bit of a boost from the Fed this week by their recognizing that the economy maybe has to cool off a little bit and offering the potential that they're going to raise interest rates during 2022. So I think that's my best shot at explaining the what is, and the what is clearly is that the president's numbers have turned around ever so slightly, but have turned around. How do you see it?
Well, at the end of the day, he's still underwater, right? And he still dropped dramatically from when he took office. I think your assessment is probably correct when you say that. What's everybody doing right now? What's mostly everybody doing right now? They're holiday shopping. 'Tis the season to be jolly. People are getting ready to see each other. They're getting ready to some people are going to travel. So I think Americans by and large are happier. I don't remember if it was Jen Psaki or not, but the White House had communicated something to the effect a couple of weeks ago that Americans would just have to get used to learning how to live with less. And that's just not the best way to address the ever-growing problem of inflation. But you're mentioning the fact that he's talking about it more, he's addressing it more. And then, of course, the Fed has said that they would increase the interest rates, do rate hikes. Although the problem with that is the last time they did a series of that under Jerome Powell, the markets reacted very, very ferociously. They almost tanked. And so they had to come back in with more quantitative easing. I don't see how this time around it's going to be any different. I really think Jerome Powell and the Fed are between a rock and a hard place. And truthfully, my observation of it is they're scrambling. They may have lost control of this. But back to the president, Build Back Better is clearly not going to pass this year. I think that that's pretty clear. And I think right now all is quiet on the holiday front. And so at the end of the day, he's still underwater. There's still 44% who disapprove, according to the average. The lower end will probably show high 30s. But that's my initial reaction. If you want to delve further into one of those topics, we can.
Let's get back to the Fed. Between a rock and a hard place, I think that speaks for the nation and its leadership. I mean, frankly, there are so many things going on, and we will have to talk about COVID and Delta and Omicron as well. But I'm just going to shelve that for a moment. But with the Fed, you know, on one hand, clearly the economy is turning around. You know, unemployment rate is at 4.2%. I know that there are a lot of people who have dropped out of the workforce, but there are many of those, not most, but many of those who voluntarily dropped out of the workforce. We're in the middle of some vast changes, attitudinal changes about work and expectations. But on one hand, you have the economy hot, which leads to inflation. On the other hand, you have really no end in sight to this supply change, or no soon end in sight to this supply chain issue, which also, you know, reduces the supplies available to business and consumers, contributes highly to inflation. And so I think sometimes what's available to leadership at all levels is to address it and to recognize that it exists and to not come out with, you know, hyper-emotional, optimistic statistics when people are experiencing tough things, but at least to, you know, to be able to say, hey, we recognize that it's on our, you know, it's in our vision, and we're looking for ways to address it. In any event, a 3 point, almost 4 point increase in job approval in 1 week, I think is still significant. Let's put it this way. Drowning is glug, glug, glug. Being in the negative column is glug. I think the president is two glugs this week. He's not drowning, but he still has a way to go in terms of his overall approval. One thing where he does get some credit is in a CNN poll. He's back up over 50%, 54% see him now handling the COVID crisis or approve of the way he's handling the COVID crisis. Everything else is at about 48 or 49%. Those are improvements as well.
Well, you've often said that you're typically the optimist in the room. And that's not to say that I'm the pessimist. I think I've mentioned this before on the podcast that, you know, there's the old adage, see the glass half full. And that's it, as if to say that the pessimist sees it as half empty. I think our job is to see what it is. It's a half a glass. It's a realistic view of it. And so when we talk about the numbers, the inflation, the CPI, the consumer price index, doesn't capture it. They're saying that inflation, if I remember correctly, is at 6%. There are others who say, no, it's way higher. They've changed the way they've calculated it. If you go to previous measures, it could be as high as 14, 15%. It's the same thing with the unemployment rate. Yes, the unemployment rate has dropped to 4.2, which isn't bad. But the fact of the matter is millions of Americans are out of work. So essentially, we still have high unemployment. Now, yes, there are jobs available, but what is motivating people to not go to work? I think we know the answer to that. So I think we have to try and look at realistically what's going on. I have already alluded to it. I don't know that the Fed is going to be able to get this under control. We heard over the past few months drilling the word transitory, the inflation is transitory. And then most recently, Powell said, we may have to retire that word, ultimately signaling that inflation is here to stay. And when inflation is here to stay, you know, you have to think of the old imagery of the frog in the boiling pot of water. Eventually, it's going to simmer. And so what they do, I don't know, but I still maintain their in a rock and between a rock and a hard place. The last thing I'll say regarding COVID and Biden's numbers on handling it, and that those have shot up. We still have to listen to whether it's the other half of the country. I don't know if it's half or a major segment of the country. You know, I was on local radio today and I this morning and I said, the number one rule in politics is to empathize with your opponent, which means you have to understand your opponent. And one of the traps, one of the things that a lot of politicians often fall into is they fall into the lure of the blame game, to blame their opponents and to charge it with politics. And so when we talk about COVID, Delta, Omicron, we immediately have to talk about the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. And the language coming from the president has clearly been, this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. And I think that Biden has surrounded himself with people who only think like that. Yet the fact of the matter is there's all kinds of data coming out to show that that's not true. And it's not a good thing to pit the population against one another. That's a very potentially dangerous thing. So a lot of people have been hearing, no, this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. What could you possibly be talking about? The Lancet, you know, one of the oldest medical journals in around, I think, formed in 1823, they came out with an article a few days ago, maybe it was last month, saying stop stigmatizing the unvaccinated. In the article, and everybody should look at this, it's a quick read. They look at batches of cases in Massachusetts, they look at cases in the UK, and they look at cases in Germany, and they've come to the conclusion that the vaccinated are a significant part of the wave, whether it's the Delta or the Omicron. It's not a one and done. It's not just the Lancet. The Scottish Public Health came out with something. They said 85% of COVID deaths and the data they were looking at came from the vaccinated. 72% of hospitalizations came from the vaccinated. This isn't to say that we now need to blame this on the vaccinated. It's to say that it's a problem for both the unvaccinated and the vaccinated, and we shouldn't get into hypercharged language of pitting the population against each other. It's a very dangerous road to go down.
Okay, so this is one of the areas where we disagree, and where I think the best that can be said is that maybe we're looking at two different sets of facts. I'm only going to just throw out there that you have an overwhelming number of men and women of science and of medicine who are responsible for treating this pandemic, many of whom are on the front lines and are watching it, not only studying it, but treating it. And these are not only their observation data that they've been collecting. So I see it less as blaming the unvaccinated rather than worrying that one of the reasons, one of the major reasons why it's so hard to rein in this pandemic is that we have not achieved, you know, the critical mass or the mass immunization that would be required to stem the growth, especially when there are new variants. Another issue, which is that Delta, that has even more serious symptoms, is the variant now that is causing the most new cases and causing the most new deaths, and that those numbers are not getting better. I'm just going to leave it at that. I hope you do too. We really disagree on this, but I do recognize, honestly, the legitimacy of your thinking. Send me that Lancet article. I would really appreciate it. Now, speaking of numbers, we're going to have a podcast next week. I don't know when we're going to record it, simply because things are going on in your household. Yeah. But two numbers that we're going to have next week regarding the president, regarding the economy, regarding some politics. It's an extensive poll. We're going to be releasing pieces of it over the next month or so. But in any event, do you want to just give us a heads up? Some of the things that we might see?
Yeah, we're going to get into it all. We're going to get into Biden's job approval rating, not just overall, but about the national vaccine mandates, about curbing inflation, a whole host of other issues. We're going to get into some stuff that's very future oriented. We want to look at what the public feels about artificial intelligence. And, you know, Elon Musk said that as early as next year, we could have microchips in the human brains. And so we want to talk about the fourth industrial revolution, artificial intelligence, how the public thinks about that. Where is there consensus? Are there certain reforms where we can have great consensus? And I just want to say one other thing to go back to the data. I'm sorry to do this, but it's not just the Lancet article and the Scottish public health data. It's also Ireland, which is 95% vaccinated, Gibraltar, which is 99% vaccinated, and Israel, which is approaching 90% vaccination. But those countries have, since Delta, have had explosions of Delta and now Omicron. So that's something to think about. That's government official data, by the way. But let me turn it back to you to cover what else I'm missing that we're going to have in our newest poll.
Well, really, it is broadly extensive, and we'll keep teasing it, you know, through December into January, possibly even February. But let's end by saying that next week, folks out there are going to get the real numbers as to the president's job approval, as to the, at least for now, the prospects for Democratic majorities in the in Congress, Republican majority in Congress, and those sorts of political things that I know our viewers and listeners are interested in. And so with that said, we're not going to wish Merry Christmas yet, just Merry Christmas week, and we'll be back right before Christmas. Have a good week.
Take care.